Good morning.
Good morning, Rob.
What's up?
Yes. Good, good. All good here. Thank you.
Good, good.
We are with the rest of the team. Okay.
Oh, good. Good, good. Excellent, excellent. So, what have you done in preparation for this call? Are you comfortable where you are?
Yes, I think so. We did our homework. Read chapter one, watched the videos, did some thinking, and started on the segmentation thing.
Okay, good. Excellent. Well, I always ask this question before we start. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? In many things. in which sense?
Regarding Supernova, have you got some any questions, issues?
Probably. Well, questions definitely are gonna come up during the whole process and you know, week after week. So far, from my point of view, I don't know the rest of the team, but it seems pretty clear what we should be, what I should be doing at this stage. So I'm all ears.
Okay. All right. Well, wonderful. Well, the most important thing that we can establish in the beginning is a clear understanding of where we're going to go and why we're going to go there. And then we establish the tactical things about how do we do it. So understanding where we're going and why we're going there is really important. So what we're trying to do is have an efficient and effective process that will make us more productive, more efficient, with less time wasters for each member of the team. So we'll get the team organized as well as you, and then we will deliver a better client experience, a more consistent client experience. Then we will establish a unique brand in the market. And then we will use that brand to acquire new business.
Okay.
So, you know, the Masters is going on this week. And I talked to a friend of mine who is a marketing and advertising consultant and had a big company in Chicago. And he said, I had a chance to visit the Masters. He said, what I was interested in was their brand and their attention to detail in creating that brand.
Oh, yes.
And then, you know, how they protect that brand at all costs. So, I mean, I think it's a great example of what we want to do and why we want to do it and how we do it. You can think about it when you're watching the Masters. Have you ever had a chance to go there and visit it during the Masters?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Here's what made the biggest impression on me. When you buy a pimento sandwich at the vending machine, they give it to you in a green bag. Okay? A green plastic bag that's the exact same color as the grass. And the reason they do that is in case you might drop that, it won't show up on TV. Okay?
Okay.
So my point is that the kind of attention to detail that makes a great brand.
Yes.
And just think about everybody that gets one of those plastic bags is reminded that you are on sacred ground here and you must behave. You must be part of this brand. Because this is not, you know, a football game.
Mm-hmm.
This is golf at its greatest. And so everyone at the Masters really behaves. You don't hear the shouting and the screaming and the, you may, but it's really not historically been that kind of a venue. It's one where you really, it's amazing to be there. Anyway, so what do we do? How do we create that same uniqueness? Well, we can do that all the way from the way we look, the way the office is, the way we dress. You know, how do we carry ourselves? What's our reputation in the community? And you can make your brand whatever you want it to be. Okay? But for our purposes, we're going to try and do some things that are very simple, but not easy to do.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to give the client a great client experience. In order to do that, we have to be really organized. So we're going to get organized around the clients that we value the most, so that, you know, they only let a certain number of people into the grounds at Augusta. It's very hard to get a ticket, okay? And so they have a minimum fee they charge. Once you get on there, everyone is treated really well. So they have fabulous service. And that's what we want. We want it to be kind of hard to get in, but great experience for your clients. So today we want to establish our minimum, our absolute minimum, and our target minimum. So what is going to be to be a client of your team? How much is it going to cost in terms of either assets or production or both? We have 11 different screens that we have in the book. In the workbook, we have 9 screens. But basically, the first screens that you use are the ones that are the most critical, which is, do they have the money? And are they willing to pay for it, the service? Some people have the money, but they're not willing to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then profitability is going to be very important for you to take into consideration. Because your clients are, they're not next door. You know, you can't, there's a cost in terms of clients. Each time you travel, there's a cost associated with it. If you have to go to another country, there's a cost associated to it. So if you're all in Argentina, that's great. Okay? But how many different communities in Argentina? Are they all in one city? If that makes it even less costly. But if you spread out all over the country, then it's more expensive. Okay? So if someone is not quite making the minimum and the enormous amount of cost associated with them, it's probably not a good idea to do business with them. Okay.
Okay.
But if somebody that you know, is paying us a lot of money, we can afford to go see them. So what have you thought about your absolute minimum and your target minimum?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So what would that be?
I mean, my would be 3 and 5.
Okay.
Well, now I would say that the average minimum account size would be 3 million. Okay. If I do the average of the 20% of my most important clients, that would be, I would say, 20 million. Okay.
Wow, okay. So the average of the top 20% is 20 million?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So you want $20 million accounts, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. accepting.
Okay. So,
yeah.
I mean, so your target funeral is going to be 5, shouldn't it?
Exactly. The one I included in the planning worksheet is 5. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it only makes sense, right? If you're going to
Yes, and then from my experience, it's very difficult a large client size of 10, 20 and above is going to open an account with you and wire you that money. Usually they will test you before, and a nice number to start would be like 5, you know.
Okay. That's fine.
But I really like the idea of not taking more clients with less assets than familia. I really love that idea. Basically, letting the client know that my practice and the team we have here is exclusive, you know. And we don't have clients of less than that. So that's a very powerful way of explaining the client and marketing our team.
Yeah, they like that, yeah. Don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so it sounds to me like your absolute minimum should be 5 million,
mm-hmm.
and your target minimum should be at least 10 million or 20 million.
Yeah.
That's who you're after, right?
Correct.
So let's change that to absolute being 5, but when you market it yourself, people say, what's your minimum? And you can say, you know, 10 or, is it better to be 10 or 20? Which would you rather?
Hello?
Well, yeah, which would you rather have? As your target minimum.
As my target minimum, you mean between 10 or 20?
Yep.
20.
20. Okay, I like it. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is very helpful to your team because this is who you're going to be prospecting for.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right? You're not going after $3 million accounts anymore. You're not going after $1 million accounts. You're going after $50 million accounts and $100 million accounts and $20 million accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're after. And when you know what you're after, you have a higher probability of getting it. It's just a mental shift.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. So, in terms of maximum number of relationships, with those kinds of targets and those kinds of minimums in the market that you have, what's the maximum number of clients that you can handle?
I would say it should be like between 30 to 50 clients.
Yep.
That should be like a nice number, you know, to work comfortably.
So would you rather have 50 or would you rather have 30?
That depends. If I have clients of 25, 50 million, 30 clients will do easily.
Right.
But if you have more clients of 10, 15, probably you will be closer to 50. I think that's something that I will discover with time at the end.
Yeah, I had a guy who had 25 clients doing 25 million. Think Frank gave him $1 million of revenue. And that was kind of his perfect world. Hmm. That's a good aspiration for you.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And at the end, it's a progression. I started in this business as an assistant, okay, commercial assistant. And then I started in the segment of clients of 500K to 2 million, then move above 2 million and so on. And then I realized that with more time and experience and a better practice, you become yourself prepared to service bigger segments and bigger clients, and that comes with time and naturally at the end. Right now, I know which segment I want to cover, the target clients I'm looking after. That's clear, very clear. And the way I'm trying to organize my practice and the team, and the way I'm working, you know, myself to get the skills necessary to service those clients. But it's easy to get there, you know, it's to do what we have to do to in order to get there. So
Excellent. Okay, good. All right, so in terms of existing relationships, what are you going to do in terms of segmentation?
What I have is, I think, a particular kind of a mixed practice, because I have a mix of institutional, like one broker-dealer, okay? Then I have three different family offices, one that is big, two that are small, but the three of them are very profitable, okay? Those family offices, they have big clients and they have lots of small clients, okay? But the way I deal with them and treat them and the service I provide, to me, my client is the family office, okay? So basically, we provide execution to the client of family office. So if we have a client with 2 million, at the end, I'm not talking directly to that client. So, for example, one of the family offices with us 100 million, okay? So I consider him one client per million, okay?
Yeah.
So at the end, I would say that I have a little above of 100 households. I take into consideration the family offices would be much less. I think would be less than I have to look at the actual numbers, but my guess is that would be less than 50 households, 50 relationships, or between 30 and 50. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, are you planning on reducing any clients? Or are you going
yes.
to stay with?
No. Yes. No. Yes. I will do that. I already started working in a spreadsheet with some names. And then the question is to find the right candidates, you know, to introduce
right.
them to the clients.
Right. Yeah.
And also like your suggestion of training that candidate into the Supernova process, so more or less they can, at the end they can try to maintain a same level of service.
Right, because you will be reassigning people, and you'll be people who will approach you, and they'll want your help, and you'll not be able to take them. Mm-hmm. So the question is, where do you send them? And if you have a good referral source, to send them to this trained in Supernova, that makes it a very attractive introduction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yeah, it's not just for your clients, but it's also for all the clients. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, Rob, I mean, how familiar you are with the offshore practice. I believe it's kind of different from what we say domestic here, you know.
Sure.
Because, you know, most of the clients I have, it's like I have a little turnover, you know, very little clients leaving me, going to other firms. I might not have the full share of wallet, but in my whole career, I'm happy to say that I almost never lost one client, you know. That means that I have good relationships, long time relationships. I've been in this business since 2001. So I started as a commercial assistant, but as a banker, I would say that was 2005, 2006. So it's 10, 11 years of relationship with clients. And you develop, you know, emotional attachments and friendships and so on. So this part is very key and it's very important, the way, you know, to find the right candidate, to come up with the right speech, to present the change of financial advisor and so on.
Excellent. Okay, tell me about your team. Who do you have on the phone today?
I think it's much better if they speak for themselves. I have Giselle, a lady first, Giselle Balsa, and then it's Juan Carlos Altamirano. I'm going to do a brief introduction. This is kind of a new team because before being here in the States, I was 11 years in Switzerland, working for five for Morgan Stanley, and prior to that for a Spanish bank, Santander. So when I moved from Switzerland to the States, basically I started over here with new support. So that's where I met Giselle, then luckily the business kept growing, and we were lucky to incorporate another person, that's Juan Carlos. And Juan Carlos was in New York and within the firm. So right now, I would say that's the team, okay? And she said, I don't know if, are you online?
Yes.
Okay,
perfect. Hi, Giselle, how are you?
Hello, good, thank you. It's very nice to meet you. My name is Giselle Balsa. I've been an assistant since 2003, about 15 years now. I really like what I do, and I form very good relationships with clients.
Great. Terrific. Wonderful. Thank you. Look forward to working with you.
Yes, same here. Thank you.
All right.
I'm Juan Carlos Altamirano. Hi Rob, nice to meet you. I started working as an assistant 1 year and a half ago from Morgan Stanley, and before I've been working in some other firms doing some different work.
That's fair.
How do they?
You've been on the international side the whole time?
Yes, always international.
Yeah.
Me as well.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, good. And your primary business is in Argentina, is that correct?
Yes, my case, yes.
Okay, that's great. Well, that makes it a lot simpler than being all over South America.
Oh, yes, it does.
And tell me quickly, if you can, on unique laws regarding offshore business in Argentina. Are there anything unique that I should know about?
No, I think besides traveling, then the way we invest, that could be one thing. We basically use a lot of mutual funds and some bonds because they have tax benefits. But no, I think the Here, here is municipal. We, in Argentina, we use local bonds for consent and tax benefits. I would say basically the traveling. I'm having clients, abroad. That. Mm-hmm.
So in terms of reporting, is the assets are held here?
Sorry, Rob. Yes, there's one thing. Of course, we don't have the same capacity to deliver the firm to international clients that we do here with domestic clients. Here, everything is much easier. You know, the ability to provide a great experience of service to open account. To open an account in the States for an American client, a resident. Usually could be done in 24 hours or 10 days. For an international client, if everything goes fine, it would take like a week or 2 weeks. So you have a difference in terms of timing.
Yeah. How about reporting tax-wise?
I haven't had any difficulty. I do talk with the accountants of my clients, and we have a good reporting system to provide the end of year statement with all the information they need. So far I haven't had any issues or complaints of my clients or attorneys.
Excellent. Okay, great. That makes it very simple. I know it's not quite that easy in every country, but that's great. That's terrific. So one of the things I want you to think about is the organization of your team. Now, this is not because your team is smaller, but you still have a team.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have roles and responsibilities. And sometimes we're not as good at holding each other accountable for roles and responsibilities as we should be. And sometimes we don't make it clear what our roles are. And so in this, with Supernova, one of the things that makes it work is that Giselle will be, or someone, Carlos, Giselle, one of them, will be in charge of making sure that the calendar is running. They'll be in charge of all calendar-related items. And so all the appointments that we make with Supernova, getting the folders ready and prepped for the call, is all on one person. And what I typically do if you have two assistants is make one of them in charge of operations and problem solving and the other one in charge of client relationships. You don't have to do it that way, but sometimes people are usually doing it that way anyway. And so if you're blessed to have two, that's the way we typically operate. Does that make sense with you guys?
Totally. Actually, that is what is, in a way, happening at the moment between Giselle and Juan Carlos. Giselle, she takes care of many things day-to-day, opening accounts, wire transferring, and so on. And Juan Carlos is also getting more involved with day-to-day with some clients, sometimes taking orders. So that little by little, that separation of roles is going that way, that direction.
Okay. Good. Okay. So, this is really the big deal. What I want you to do is the homework we will now be working on is figuring out who is in charge. I guess it's in terms of sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. And it's just you, Luca, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so you're going to be basically, it's pretty simple in this case, but we break your job down into there's five roles and responsibilities on every team. And we do this for consulting purposes for me and for organization purposes for you. So we have, we call them the director or vice president, whatever you feel like calling them, of each of the roles and responsibilities. So let's say it's director of planning. And that would be the person that would be in charge of the planning and keeping track of the planning and making sure the planning was up to speed on the team. Then we have vice president of implementation or director of implementation. That would make sure that when you begin a financial plan for a client, we fully implemented the plan. The financial plan, or a variation on the financial plan, becomes the bedrock of everything that we do. That's where we get the conversations. That's where we get the agenda items for our conversations that we have with our clients on a regular basis.
Okay.
It's more than that, but that's a simple way of understanding it. So the person in charge of implementation of the planning process is also in charge of the investment process.
Okay.
We want to make sure we supernova our matrix, our investment process, so we don't have 300 different mutual funds. You know, we want to make sure we have a simple process, and it's pretty standard for each person depending on their risk tolerance or age and things like that. Right. And then we have the team in charge of, or the director in charge of brand management, and that would be Supernova, the Supernova service model, and operations and execution of problems and solving and things like that. Opening account problems, you know, opening accounts is a big deal. So that would be part of that operation. That would be under brand management. And then we have marketing, director of marketing, and then we have director of leadership. So the marketing is the growth of the company. That's the person in charge of growing the company. The person in charge of leading the company sets the vision, make sure that the team stays organized, that you have your regular communications, your meetings, your vision. Everybody knows where we're going, why we're going to be going there, and how we're going to get there. So this is typically really helpful for a team with 5 or 6 people on it, or 7, or something like that. You can imagine everybody's running around in different directions. So this becomes very helpful for them. But even when you only have 3 people, it's still, I think, very helpful.
Okay.
So we want to think about that, watch the video on that, think about it, and I assume, you know, I don't want to assume anything, but I assume that Luca, you'd be in charge of everything but brand management, it seems like, right?
probably Juan Carlos, he might be able to help on implementation, basically on portfolios, implementation of the financial plan. Rob, what do you mean by planning? Planning in terms of financial planning or planning the business?
Financial planning.
Financial planning, okay.
Yeah.
I mean financial planning for the client.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So the only, so think about it, have a, you know, talk it over as a team and think about it, you know, who does what role. That's kind of your homework for this week. And then progress. You should get the scheduler from Cindy. So, Chanel, you're going to need, or Carlos, whoever's going to do that part of the scheduling, handling the client. Is it Carlos? Who would do that?
I imagine Juan Carlos, right, Aluca?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I think what we would do is we will sit together 10, 15 minutes and talk about this more in detail. And I would like to hear what what Juan Carlos and Giselle think about it, what they could feel more comfortable. Just to make sure everybody could be on the right role with the right responsibilities. Yeah.
Okay, good. That's what I want to get going. I want that conversation to happen. Mm-hmm. That's great. And so that's, you know, so we will be in touch with you so that you will have the scheduler and that you're comfortable. You're going to have to need to get the folders.
Okay.
So you've probably seen the folders around and you've talked about enough. But we'll start to get those folders ready and we'll begin the whole process of building the folders, getting the schedules out. And then next week we'll talk about telling the, you know, I think we've gone over the story, but we want to make sure you're comfortable telling the story and sharing that. And so we'll begin doing that right away. You don't waste time. So we'll be,
okay.
We're starting to talk to people about the process and 1242 and financial planning and setting them up. But, so work on that. Work on your script on what you're going to say to the client when you talk to them. And then, we'll go over that next week. Okay?
Okay. Perfect.
Good.
Excellent.
Any questions or?
Yeah, one very, basic or housekeeping question. In terms of the payment of the training, with whom do I could get in touch to coordinate it and help me do it, because it's something I do, you know, using what we call here AFC, that is money we have here in the bank and we can use to pay for training and so on.
Yeah, your pre-tax account and all
that. Exactly.
Yeah. I would say my first inclination would be to go to management, but Cindy's been doing this now quite a while.
Okay.
So Cindy Bowie is work. She's very familiar with how this works.
Okay.
So Cindy, Beuly, Cindy Bowie, and her number is
317-650-1500. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, Beth has been sending you things. Lori and Cindy are the people that work with me on making sure everything gets done properly. So that's your direct contact. But you work with Nico, right?
Pardon?
Who's your manager? Is Nico?
No, not Nico, it's Jose Salazar.
Oh, okay, great.
Yes,
okay.
Nicolas is in Coral Gables, and we are in the downtown office.
Okay. That's right, okay, thank you.
No problem.
So I would go to Jose, and he may not be familiar, but Nico obviously is, but... I'm sure he is.
You're right. I'm gonna talk to Nico. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Perfect. Excellent.
Great. Thanks so much, Luca. Appreciate it. And thank you. Juan Carlos, thank you. And Giselle, thank you. We look forward to working together. It's gonna be fun.
Thank you, Luca.
Bye-bye. Until next week. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.